Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. One in the books. Still got two to go. Lots more opportunities to talk about a lot of things. And boy, do we have a lot of things going on in the H this week. As we mentioned, camp opened up this morning for the Texans. Deshaun Watson's on the field wearing 23 and playing safety for the scout team, which I think is just an asininely dumb move. But Nick and I kicked around in the first hour. Should he even be there? Should the media be butthurt if you're not getting any answers from Nick Caserio? And does it help whatever the Texans are going to have to do or could do or need to do with number four? We talked about the fact that tomorrow night is a massive night in the progress of the Houston Rockets. They have three first-round picks, but the most important one is number two. They are going to be selecting right after the Detroit Pistons. They also have 23 and 24, and that is huge. And then the trade deadline looms after one move was made by your Houston Astros and James Click yesterday, albeit a good one. Are they done? Will they do more? And in the meantime, they have a game at 2:40 this afternoon to try and win another series against a good Seattle Mariners team. So those are the big deals that are all surrounding the city of Houston as we move forward. We haven't really talked Rockets yet, Nick, but we can at least get some of this out there in the fact that it looks like trade discussions have cooled for the time being. I'm interested for a lot of reasons what happens tomorrow night. Obviously, I said Rafael Stone's job is sitting there in the balance based on what they do tomorrow night and with the draft picks and then any moves they can possibly make.
Making any mistakes wouldn't be a good thing for Rafael.
Correct.
Stone.
And the fact that, you know, he's trying to set it up for the media to go easy on him by saying at this point, ask any GM, it's all luck these days. It damn well better not be. It better be that you did your homework, you really, really, really investigated every kid, and you figured out, you know, who had the best chance to be the kind of player that you need as you rebuild this team. Now, the other thing is, I hope they trade Eric Gordon. I hope that tomorrow night is the opportunity, because if it's true that Indiana's willing to give you number 13 in the first round for Eric Gordon, I couldn't trade him fast enough. I understand that he could have value to a veteran team that's chasing a championship, and I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, I would love to get him off the books, because I obviously feel, like I said yesterday, that moving John Wall is probably going to be nearly impossible, at least until halfway through the next season, so the upcoming season. So I don't see you moving John Wall. If you can somehow do it, if someone feels like they absolutely believe in John Wall, Joel and I disagreed on a hypothetical between the Rockets and the Sixers, and I've also been told that Achilles injuries do indeed take like a year, year and a half, sometimes even 2 years, depending on the person. So maybe John Wall comes out after being, what, he's 30 years old. It's been 2 years now since the Achilles. Maybe he plays even better next year than he does this year. Regardless, even if he does play better in this upcoming season, he's still not worth the $40 million a year that he's getting paid. And you have to consider that if you're an NBA team. So I don't know if he would be moved. I would love both of those names to be moved. But if you move Eric Gordon alone mm-hmm. as one of the two names between Gordon and Wall, mm-hmm. I'm not mad.
No, because again, this is all part of the structure you put around the process, right? The way that you're moving forward is you've got a ton of young players. The last thing you need is to have a ton of young, impressionable players. And we mentioned this with KPJ a year ago, Porter Jr. God bless John Lucas, because he's the kind of guy that could have really made sure that this kid did what he did last year, and Lucas doesn't get enough credit for being there and making sure that this guy didn't get too far off the beaten path. Yeah, the booby trap happened, but even that could have been a lot worse than it was,
sure.
And it turned out okay. So I say that to say this. I don't want a disgruntled John Wall that doesn't care that he's making $40 million a year. We saw what happened last year with Christian Wood. It got to the point where Wood was open, but John Wall wasn't giving it to him because he was getting his. John Wall, when he was on the floor, got selfish and worried about his own stats instead of the development of these young kids. Giving Tate the ball when he's open, showing KPJ what he can do, helping Martin develop as a big. And again, feeding the guy you're paying the most money other than you to, which would be Christian Wood, because Eric Gordon wasn't on the floor. To that level, Eric Gordon's making way too much money to be a member of your team on a really bad team. And if he has value to someone else, Daryl Morey might want him back, we've heard. No matter where he goes is better than where he is. And whatever you get back, as long as it includes some draft picks or young players, you're better off.
Look, as much money as Eric Gordon is making, I still think his contract is super movable. Like, it's not that big. Yes, it's going to be more. It's going to be harder than, I guess, your average contract, but I still think it can be moved. There's still an experience factor. There's still a, you know, any team that could need someone who can run the offense and be a point guard. There's still a need for someone like Eric Gordon. Sure. And maybe they don't want him as a starter. Maybe they want him as a backup. And I know Eric Gordon, you know, he kind of wants to be a starter, but
he's been sixth man, though, you know, so he played the role. But I really believe, Nick, the best fit for Eric Gordon, even though Indiana's got the best kind of assets to give up, is Philly. Because, look, Danny Green, they thought still had something left in the tank. He really didn't. And Curry is really a one-dimensional player, undersized for Philadelphia, not Steph. Seth.
Yeah.
Right. Eric Gordon steps in. He immediately becomes a weapon for Philadelphia. They need outside shooting. They need a guy that can also get you buckets. And he's proven when guys are out, he has stepped up. He had a 50-piece against Utah that time. Whenever Harden and those guys were out, he stepped up. And Daryl remembers that. So he could be a guy that could help a team like Philadelphia.
Yeah, look. I mean, look, we can go back and forth on it, but, I mean, maybe he can help them. You know, maybe they can. But you, at this point, you want to be significantly better, and you're in a situation where you're probably not going to be better because you have to give up on a guy like Ben Simmons. You're of the belief that if you give up Ben Simmons and you bring in a guy like John Wall, that they would actually be better.
I do. I think the combo platter, because and Kelly Eco was here talking about, he was the one that broke that rumor to us the day we had him in studio, and mm-hmm. he said the rumor was that Ben Simmons could be had for John Wall and Eric Gordon. You think about Daryl Morey, and he goes to Philly, and everybody is in Daryl We Trust mode, like Rockets fans were drinking Kool-Aid to believe in him when he was here. You look at Philly and you say, I'm going as far as I can go with what I got on this roster because I'm maxed out. I've got Embiid's contract. I've got
Simmons's
contract. I've got Harris's contract. Tobias Harris, overly overpaid as a max type player. He's not. He's a good player. He's not a superstar. He's not a max type player. And then on top of that, I'm still paying a lot of money to guys like Danny Green and guys like, you know, like Curry. So I look
at Danny Green will be off the books. Embiid is at 31.5. Simmons, 31.5. Tobias Harris, to your point, 36.
He's the highest paid Sixer, Nick.
Yeah, he makes more than Embiid. He'll make more money than Embiid next year and the following year as well. He won't even – Simmons makes more. That's crazy. Simmons makes more than Embiid. That's crazy.
And Embiid's coming up, so, you know, you got to worry about taking care of him as well. Excuse me.
He'll get the max. He'll get the super max.
You look at the East. Philly's not just saying if we're healthy, we got a shot. Milwaukee won it all. Brooklyn's going to be – if they're healthy, they're better than every team in the East. If Daryl got hired and he's going to constantly be the second or third best team in the East, how do I overcome that? Well, you got to get better offensively, because the one thing you're lacking is, because of Ben Simmons, offense.
But if Daryl Morey is genuinely asking himself this question, to your hypothetical and to your point, okay, mm-hmm. if they do pull off that trade somehow and John Wall is officially a Philadelphia Sixer,
yep.
do you think that makes you a competitive team against the Nets? I say no.
Oh, Nick.
Come on.
So
the
now
Nets are going to wipe the floor with them.
So now you've got a legit point guard in Wall, who, again, we can crap on him all we want because of all the antics he pulled this last year.
That's not why I think he's
bad.
But
I'm saying, when he was right, before they really started in full tank mode, he was one of the fastest guys in the league end-to-end. He was putting up really, really good numbers, assists and points-wise. And so he gives you what they don't have, which is a really good point guard, okay? Then from a shooting standpoint, you add a guy like Gordon who has versatility, who's a good three-point shooter, who can go off from time to time if one guy or another is having a bad night. But the big thing is they complement, both guys complement Embiid. Wall will get him the ball. Gordon will get him made threes if he gets double teamed. And now you can stack the perimeter with guys like Tobias Harris, another good three-point shooter, and Curry. And you have more offense. And then defensively, you're still fine because you've got Thybulle, who's a really good on-ball defender. You've got some young kids you drafted. You're a better overall team no matter what Ben Simmons brought to the table, because the other thing is, like I said, you only got Wall for 2 more years. You still got Ben Simmons for 4. And unless he shows, like, ridiculous improvement, he is who he is, and he's not going to get better.
Eric Gordon, though, we've both talked about this, dude. He's a ball stopper. You know how he used to get excited when he got the ball, particularly at the top of the key? He would do one of two things. He would start dribbling, or he would start penetrating to the basket, or he would just throw up a three-pointer. I mean, is he really known to – like I can see John Wall setting up Embiid, but is Gordon really going to be that guy for you too?
He didn't have to be. He's more of the guy that's going to give you extra scoring punch and shooting that you don't have right now. Wall is going to be the guy that, look, you got to have a hard conversation with him before you make any move. He wants out. He's liking the possible move to the Clippers when people are tweeting that. He's looking to get out, though. He's forgetting the most important thing, which is he's grossly overpaid and no one wants that $40 million salary. He doesn't seem to be willing to give money back. But if you're trying to make a move and you don't want Wall in your locker room and on your floor for the next 2 years, then Ben Simmons is one of the only possibilities you have in terms of salaries and a guy that maybe John Lucas and company can find a way to get through to say, you got to work harder. You got to try and fix some things. You're not as good as you think you are, but we can make you better. If he's open to that, someone can reach him. There's potential there. There's no potential with John Wall here. And he is as immovable as any contract that we've seen. And he's worse than Chris Paul. So it's like, do you want to just suck it up for 2 more years with Wall and also worry about how he affects your young guys? Or do you just want to try and move him and figure out you can at least get a young talent?
I can see him sucking it up for 1 more year. They don't necessarily. I think by the time it gets to the player option that he can pick up, at that time you can do some sort of buyout. He'll still get his 40 or 45 million or whatever the hell it is. The Rockets will end up having to pay a bulk of it, and then whatever team he's going to will pay a portion of it. That's probably what will happen. But Cedric wants to get on this Ben Simmons talk.
Let's do it.
Cedric, you're on the press box. What's up?
Yeah, I was talking about trades and stuff, and I just wanted to throw something out. Okay, Daryl Morey, why wouldn't he go after Harden for Ben Simmons straight up? Because when you look at what happened to both teams in the playoffs, one being the Philadelphia, they was lacking scoring in the end. And for the Brooklyn Nets, they was lacking a big guy like Ben Simmons bringing the ball up. They don't need another shooter like Harden, but they'll get a defensive guy who can somehow make some shots somewhere down the line if he in Brooklyn, I think. And then for Joel Embiid to have Harden chucking up all the threes that Daryl Morey loves, that'll just be perfect. Take some pressure off the big man. Harden can get to the paint and do all those other things. And he might stay even healthier if he's back under Daryl Morey. Just something I was thinking about.
So, Cedric, we appreciate the call and the passion. There's no way Brooklyn's trading James Harden to anyone.
Call back anytime, but that's not happening.
They're not trading James Harden for Ben Simmons.
I didn't want to interrupt them, but.
And here's the other kicker, by the way. If you want a big guy to bring up the ball in Brooklyn, he wears number 7. His name is Kevin Durant, and he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we love you, Cedric, and you can call
Cedric,
in anytime.
Call back anytime. Appreciate the love and the passion. All right. We'll continue to roll. By the way, one of the other things we mentioned after Shams reported yesterday that the play-in tournament is going to stay for seeds 7 through 10. The other thing, Nick, is, and it's, I love the way they try and define it, non-basketball movement will be penalized next year. So if you're going up for a shot and a defender's close and you gyrate and throw your body into a defender, it's on you, sir. It's not on the defender anymore.
And Joel will have a Houston Astros announcement on the other side as well. So
there you go. We'll continue to roll with that, amongst other things. Stay right where you are. It is the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
2-0 pitch, drill, deep right field, air, you're done! Crushes a pitch to right, a three-run home run. And the Astros jump out early, just like last night.
I fly right field, and at the wall, gets the ball, and it's over the wall!
It's a move that we feel improves our roster, but we are going to continue to spend the next 3 days finding, hopefully, additional moves to improve the roster. We are going to overturn every rock, look under everything we possibly can to continue to put these guys in a position to compete for a World Series.
Well, I love hearing the last bit from from James Click. he's got time on his hands, evidently, so at least he can concentrate between now and the trade deadline. The Astro News, Nick, indicated is the fact that effective today, the Astros have designated right-handed pitcher Austin Pruitt for assignment. Earlier today, Rafael Montero, acquired from Seattle yesterday, was activated. He is with the club in Seattle. Look, Raley's the guy that really bothers me right now because of Dusty's ability to use him as a security blanket far too much. But Austin Pruitt looks like Raley and pitches even worse than Raley. And so, I don't wish bad on anybody, but this is a World Series caliber team. They're trying to upgrade their bullpen for a reason. And Austin Pruitt, whether it be timing or otherwise, the time is not now.
I mean, Click has to put Dusty in a better position. When he goes back into his little vault there and has an arm to choose from, he needs to have more. He needs more arms to choose from. And so I can understand that. So, but a lot, Pruitt, I know you're not big on him, but I feel like more people are bummed out about Pruitt. You know what I mean?
I wanted to see him. I kept saying, where's Pruitt? Where's Baez? Because we hadn't seen him before. Then I saw him. And I saw on successive
and then you said enough.
Appearances, I was like, I've seen too much of
you're
him.
You're like, bye, Felicia.
Because he fit right into what everybody else in the bullpen seems to do, which is either walk guys right off the top or give up runs every time that they come into a game. So you can tell me what your favorite stat is, but anybody that has an ERA over 7, 8, or 9 is not a guy that I feel comfortable with in the Astros bullpen.
That's understandable.
So with that said, Nick, here's the key factor in Montero. He's got a live, see if you've heard this before. He's got an electric arm.
Shocker.
He's got major league stuff. He's had some success with the Rangers and the Mets. This is what I want to see for both guys that they acquired yesterday. I want to see what a little time with Brent Strom does. Because we already know what Brent Strom has been able to do for Justin Verlander, for Lance McCullers.
For Charlie Morton.
For a guy who getting big money named Garrett Cole with the Yankees now, who was just a pitcher with the Pirates till he joined the Astros. Brent Strom and his magic touch could be something to keep an eye on with Montero because of the fact that maybe he can find some things and work on some things that others have not that can possibly help because he's got the arm.
Oh, they also say that he does really well. Like sometimes they'll find a pitcher that has probably two, maybe three pitches in their arsenal, and then Strom will teach him how to add a fourth. And I think that does, like when you give a pitcher the confidence to add another pitch in their arsenal that they didn't believe that they had, or I think that's like probably the most amazing thing that you can do for a pitcher, or one of the more amazing things that you can do for a pitcher, because that just helps with confidence. And a lot of people weren't high on Charlie Morton. I don't think Charlie Morton was high on Charlie Morton when he came here, but I think Strom turned it around for him. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It could be very short. I mean, we'll find out soon. But the good thing is he doesn't have to do a bunch of development with him. He's got a guy that has some experience. He doesn't necessarily have to go in and reconstruct his approach completely, you know?
Right. Well, we'll see. Look, and I'm not expecting some major, resurrection of Montero's career. They got the guy that they wanted and needed, and they didn't have to give up much to get him. Now, as he said in that soundbite, he's got a couple of days left where it sounds like they're going to be very active in discussions trying to do more. And it's the smart thing to do. We saw the A's are all of a sudden a team that's never in go-for-it mode, never looking to give up prospects and young players to try and go for it. But they got Marte from the Marlins. They went and got Chafin from the Cubs. They may not be done yet either because they realize it's slipping away from them. This is exactly what I warned everybody about when we were talking about why I wanted the Astros to make moves earlier than later before the deadline. Because now the more teams getting involved, the more it's going to be harder to make a move or two. And the price goes up, which you can't afford to because your farm system is not
for those two reasons. The price goes up and availability.
Right.
It's not only that. You have less players to work with, and the price goes up because there's only so much you can work with in terms of a pie. There's only so many pieces to a pie. And if everything gets picked up, you know what I mean, there's nothing left for you. So, yeah. No, I totally understand that. And I'm pretty sure Click understood that, too. I mean, he wasn't aggressively pursuing Max Scherzer for no reason. He wanted to shoot for the top. And I think just from the rumblings and what I've seen, I think he's been shut down by Washington and basically told, like, this is probably not going to happen. And he just moved on.
Well, he's got a no trade. And it's all dependent upon the fact that if he's literally going to be in discussions with the Nationals, he's got to know that Scherzer's willing to play here. And based on a lot of the news that's coming out, Scherzer's going to actually really be picky in terms of teams he wants to play for and teams he doesn't.
Yeah.
If you're not one of his teams, then so be it. Then move on. Don't even waste your time with it because time is ticking. And you need to make sure that you're concentrating on talking to teams with players that will make deals that can make you better. If he's out, then he's out.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that it was 14 teams that called in regards to Max Scherzer. I believe the number could even be more with some of these smaller name pitchers. Honestly, I think there could be more inquiries with some of the smaller names because they're more of a realistic get. I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not saying that's the case. But there were 14 different teams that called upon Max Scherzer.
Astros were one of them.
And a good portion of them probably knew realistically that they couldn't get him, but they said, you know what, let's make the phone call and see if we can make things happen. You know?
So that's why I say keep an eye on teams like the Marlins, the Twins, the Pirates, maybe the Reds. Keep an eye on teams where if you think they're sellers, then you're already in the ballpark, right? The conversations are already progressing because now you know they're willing to have a discussion with you and there are no hangups as opposed to worrying about talking to a guy and his agent and would he and could he and should he consider your team. I don't need to like try and do a recruitment tour. You either want to play for us or you don't because you know what? We're a damn good team. If you want to play, we're a winner. Come on over. If you don't, then don't waste my time because I got to go and make sure that I'm making the best deals. He said it himself. The players have done everything they needed to do to prove that they're a World Series caliber team. Now it's his job to do the rest, to fill the holes, to add a little extra to make sure that maybe you can push him over the top. If you're dealing with a player that doesn't want to be here, then I don't want you here. I shouldn't have to beg you to come here.
No, I'm with you. Dude, that's the biggest problem. Like, the landscape of trading players in Major League and all the sports would be so different if the players didn't have the control that they had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You probably would see more parity in sports, honestly. Honestly,
yeah, I believe that. But, you know, at the same time, and we've talked about how the tide has turned and we've talked about how, you know, you suddenly are in a situation now where the players hold all the cards. They have all the bargaining chips. They have all the power. So therefore, you've got to appease these silver spoon fed kids and otherwise that, you know. But again, at the same time, Nick, you also have to blame the organizations that put the no trades in
because they succumb to that pressure all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. So if that's what you have to deal with, then you have to deal with it. You don't expect when you make that in, put that in a contract.
Grow a pair, GMs. Grow a pair.
Yeah, that's a great phrase. I love that one. All right, well, we're going to continue to fly through the second half of the program. First half just went right by lickety-split. We've got 90 minutes to go in the show and lots more to get to. It always includes you guys. So 713-780-3776 for HR&P Listener Line, otherwise text and Twitch and Twitter. We're here for you. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, we were just talking about Ben Simmons. A Woj bomb comes out. According to ESPN sources, Sixers are continuing to canvass the league to try and trade Ben Simmons. Armed with a steep asking price, Simmons and his agent, Clutch CEO Rich Paul, are in step with a move elsewhere and would like it to happen. Draft night is always an ideal vehicle for a deal. Talks could continue into the summer. Evidently, he hasn't talked to the Sixers since he left after they were eliminated.
Ooh.
But he has said to have been working on his game and his shot and maybe his confidence, but we shall see. In bigger news, in more interesting news to those, especially because we're talking baseball and that's what everybody cares about, Ken Rosenthal is reporting the Astros are close to acquiring reliever Yimi García from the Marlins. Sources tell Rosenthal and others that would be the second arm that I was looking for in the bullpen. Oh, Nick, behind door number one, what can you tell us about Yimi?
Well, he's played 39 games, got a 3.47 for an ERA. He had a better ERA last year, but I don't think he played as many games. I wouldn't be mad at it, to be honest with you. I think he's a good addition.
I think it's a good. Now, the thing for me is, what are they giving up? Because as you looked it up during the break, if he's expiring at the end of the year, the asking price shouldn't be too high. This is exact. I just told you guys like a couple segments ago, Miami, one of those teams, they're in sell mode, right? So, and also look, because Nick and I a couple weeks ago started pointing out guys with very, very team-friendly contracts and or low-money expiring deals because the Astros don't have a whole lot they can afford to give up, where you could make a subtle move here or there, but they could be very effective for you. This is that kind of move. He's got an ERA in the threes, Not like the rest of the bullpen who doubles that, okay? So you've got a guy, and if you like him, you can negotiate to re-sign him at the end of the year, but the fact of the matter is, it's new blood, it's a guy that's been effective.
And he's cheap. 3.47. Here, tell me what you think of the stats. 36.1 innings pitched, 31 hits, 18 runs. Five home runs, 13 walks, so 35 strikeouts. I mean,
he's from the Dominican.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
it. Throws right.
He's a righty. I'm looking for velocity on the fastball. Because you know me, I prefer the power pitcher if I can get it in terms of fastball mid 90s and up would be ideal.
94.4 average.
I'll take it. That's fine. That's exactly
tops
where I need it to be.
Tops out at about 96.6.
I like it a lot.
So
signed with the Dodgers in 2009. Eventually made his way up to the big leagues. Dodgers had on the 40-man roster in 2013.
But does this tell you that they really were like willing to spin and go way above and beyond the threshold from the moves that – I mean, this is not
official.
They're
not done yet, so we don't know.
That's true.
Right? So what it tells me, Nick, is if they're able to – like I said, aside from getting a guy – with the ability and the results that we've seen this year from Graveman, right?
Yeah.
That the fact that they didn't have to give up anybody in their farm system to get him, and a guy that they were trying to get rid of anyway in Joe Smith, and a guy that they didn't have a use for anymore in Toro, was ideal, okay? Yeah. So now if you get a guy like this...
It's official. They got Yimi García goes to the Astros for outfielder Brian De La Cruz in AAA. Teams have agreed, according to John Heyman. It's official.
So Brian De La Cruz is not a bad prospect. But at the same time, if you fully believe in your outfield or you don't have a spot for him per se, or you don't see him being a guy that's in your future, again, they're in go-for-it mode. We don't know if De La Cruz will ever turn into a guy that's going to be a full-time major league outfielder.
And if he does, it's not a bad decision to give up on him, even if he does.
Because you have to go for it when the window's open. So right. I like it, you know, and so...
So those are the two official moves, right?
So that's good because here's what I was getting at, Nick. Now they still haven't given up any of the major prospects.
They haven't
touched anybody that could be of value. So now maybe that big move is still possible.
Yeah, maybe it is. And look, if they say they're not done, they're not done. Now I don't know if they're. I'd be kind of shocked if he was done after this move. I mean, okay. I would be shocked. I think there'd be at least one more move in the making prior to all. You know, for this all before this is all said and done, but yeah, now you've got two guys that they can probably depend on. I'm sure Dusty's probably feeling a lot better about this too, because he gets a lot of criticism about which arms he uses. Now he actually has more options. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So De La Cruz was hitting 324 for the Skeeters in 66 games. He had 12 home runs and 50 runs batted in. He's 24 years old, 6'2", 175. So, I mean, fine. I don't know that anybody thought that Brian De La Cruz was a guy that they couldn't afford to get rid of, or had a guy that had a future. February of 2021, he's been up and down. Last assigned to the Astros February 12th, then assigned to the Skeeters from the Astros April 30th. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am too. So far, Click has been doing okay. I mean, I'd probably have to go back and really look at all the possible candidates that could have come to this team, but I can't really criticize or give them a bunch of grief right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I hope they're not done, but I like what he's done so far, because so far he hasn't spent a lot to get a lot, and whether it works out or not, it's better than what you got.
Yeah, for sure.
So for right now, I'm good with what he's doing, and I want him to keep doing it because, you know, as some of you guys are saying, even on Twitch, look, they might have dodged a bullet because Marte was on their list. Of all the guys that thought we were idiots for saying that, you know, they were actually looking at another bat, the fact is they've been looking at another bat because they're not sold on Miles Straw.
Yeah.
But to look at a guy that would have cost, like you said, $30 million a year if you're looking at Marte going forward, that's not the kind of guy you want. And even if it's an expiring deal, you don't have to give up as much. You still probably had to give up plenty. Look, the fact that the A's gave up one of their really good young arms with a big-time arm to go get him means they're desperate. The Astros aren't desperate. If they're looking to add a bat, it's going to be basically at their dictation of price because of the fact that they don't need it. Their offense is too good even without any other additions. Because as we said, you're getting Diaz back, who's a stick off the bench. You're getting Bregman back, who's your regular third baseman. So now your bats already are better. Your lineup already stronger. You're not touching catcher because the machete's too good behind the dish. So the only possible thing that you have to do is to upgrade center field. And if you don't, no one's going to be pissed at you.
Yeah. No, I don't think so either. I don't think anybody's going to be, when it's all said and done, I don't think everybody's going to be mad at Click either. So
I like it. I like what Click has been doing. I like the fact that he's kind of stayed under the radar, but he's kind of hiding in the weeds. He's picking and choosing the moves that he made. And like I said, the biggest thing for Astros fans is you got another team's closer, and you didn't have to touch your farm system. That is major.
It is. And check this out. A tweet from Ken Rosenthal. If the deal is completed, which it is for Yimi, mm-hmm. The Astros will have added three relievers, Garcia, Graveman, Montero, who combined will earn less than $2 million for the rest of the season. So just in those three names, not Yimi, but Graveman, Montero, and Garcia, for the rest of the season, they will earn less than $2 million for those three names.
Fantastic.
That's a great deal.
It's absolutely
dude.
Fantastic. And obviously Graveman's a guy that if he continues to do what he's done all year, he had COVID for over a month. So early in this season, he was really set back. Since he's been back, he's been basically unhittable. If he continues with that, I'm sure the Astros are going to be front and center to talk to him about signing him for a multi-year deal to stick with this club, because he's the kind of guy that can finally erase the void that you had when you lost Osuna. Now you've got two bona fide closers at the back end of your bullpen, and now the need for guys to fill in relief gets shorter, because now your eighth and your ninth, I don't care which guy takes which role, your eighth and your ninth are covered.
Right.
Now you just start worried about, you know, 6, 7, and 8 and 9 are covered. And if your starters have been as good as they, and if they get through 6, you got one more guy you really need, and then it's just situational, you're in good shape. Now, someone said, I hear a lot of noise on Taylor Jones being traded. Speculation is he's going to be moved. Boy, I sure hope so.
Well, that's another guy you're not a big fan of.
Yeah, he can go.
It's not going to make you upset.
No. And you know what? If we get another pitcher for him, bye.
Bye.
Have a great career, Taylor. You know, your first name is great for a girl. But at the same time, I wish you all the best. Just do it somewhere else.
The bad news is there's reports that are saying that Craig Kimbrell has become a long shot for the Astros.
I think they're out. And again, like I told you, when you got the Mariners closer, you don't need the Cubs, because the Cubs asking price was quadruple what the Mariners were looking to get.
Yeah.
And just because DePoto as the general manager completely screwed his team as you mentioned, one game behind Oakland for the wild card, and you trade away your closer, but you try to convince people, but it's okay because we have more moves to be made. Guess what? James Click said the same thing, but he's done it. And what he did for the Astros has been impressive. You just pissed off your whole clubhouse.
You think it, you really do think that the Craig Kimbrel thing is just done?
Yeah.
I see Bob Nightingale reporting that, but I feel like he's way more of a possibility than Max Scherzer.
Yeah, but either one of them, I think they're both pipe dreams now.
Well, Max, for sure. I didn't think Craig
for
was
for Scherzer?
I mean, Max Scherzer was for sure.
Max for Scherzer?
For Scherzer, yeah.
Scherzer. Again, it depends on the asking price, but the reason why I think Kimbrel is out for the Astros is twofold. Because of what I heard the asking price was, which was ridiculously steep, which you don't want to give up anyway for a guy that's not in his prime, that only has 1 year left of contract control. Secondly, if you've heard what I've heard, which is 8 to 10 teams interested in Kimbrel, that means they're playing one team against the other, and they're looking for the best deal possible, and everyone has to up the ante to get him,
yeah.
And it gets too expensive. And the Astros aren't in a position of strength to trade away their farm system.
Yeah, that's the problem, because their farm system sucks.
Yeah, that it's depleted, so you can't afford to give up that much. So, they don't need Kimbrel anymore. That's why I said, now you've strengthened your bullpen. So now the only thing left to do is, if you want to really go for it, go-for-it mode is either getting a pitcher, a starting pitcher, or go-for-it is getting one more bat. But otherwise, I love this team, and I'll take my chances with this team against any team in baseball.
I'm all about it. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
I am too.
It makes it a lot more exciting. So we talked a little NFL in the first hour. Maybe we bring that back. And I got some news for you Dallas Cowboys fans.
I mean, who the hell would be dumb enough to be a Cowboy fan?
About your boy Dak Prescott.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Dre on 290 in Total Dallas. Stay tuned for that. Hey, stay tuned for this. You looking for great Italian food? I mean, authentic Italian food. The freshest of ingredients, but the best taste. And the portions are phenomenal. So you're going to feel full when you leave. And you can bring the whole family there because it's a really, really comfortable environment. You need to check out Frankie's Italian Kitchen. If you're in the Katy area, Fulshear, Richmond area, everyone knows about it and everybody's talking about it. They used to really focus on just pizza, but then they have so much more, they decided to name it what it really is, an Italian kitchen. Chris Smith's the owner. He also prepares the food, and he does it exquisitely well. He uses all fresh ingredients, Wisconsin cheese, the Italian sausages made in College Station, all the produce is fresh. And the fact that, like I said, everything on the menu is absolutely some of the best you'll ever try. Even their wings, with all their different variations, are top shelf. But they do everything from beef stroganoff to lasagna to pizza to spaghetti to so much more. You're going to love every single bit about it. But the most important thing is you're going to feel like home because it's got that environment. The whole family can feel comfortable. You can feel relaxed. It's not going to be uptight and starched and worried about, you know, expensive prices. It's affordable and it's filling and it's good. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday noon to 8 for dine-in, takeout, and catering. And I'm telling you, it's high quality, it's tasty, and if you go once, you'll be back again and again. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by at ESPN Radio. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com if you want to look them up online. But better yet, just get there. You're going to be glad you did. It's phenomenal food.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Nick took you downtown. He's just looking for some tush. I'm in good. Dallas, Texas. Hollywood. R.I.P. Dusty. Nick breaking the news earlier in the show that the trio of ZZ Top is now a duo.
Yeah, Dusty Hill.
Dusty Hill has passed.
He gone.
By the way, speaking of trios that are now duos, but still touring in this case, I did see the marquee out at the Smart Financial Center. TLC.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably a good venue for him. It's about, 5,000-6,000 people? I mean, that's probably a good venue for him.
So T-Boz and Chili are still alive, but Left Eye has passed?
Yeah, Left Eye passed away a long time ago.
They're still touring.
Good for them.
Yeah.
One of the first videos I've ever seen was that waterfalls. Like when I first got MTV and cable, mm-hmm. and I was like so ecstatic about it. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the first videos I ever saw. You used to sing to that song, I'm sure. Who didn't sing to TLC Waterfalls?
I don't know, Nick. I've given you a lot of advice over the years, but one thing I can always tell you is don't go chasing waterfalls.
I'm all about the waterfalls.
Stick to the... Never mind. It's got some sad connotations to it when you listen to the lyrics.
It does. But just because it's a sad song doesn't mean you're not singing to it in the car, you know?
Got the AIDS possibility. But TLC has a lot of good cuts. A lot of good songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
So they're still touring.
Good for them. I mean, they got to be in their 50s.
You said
now,
Dusty was in his 70s?
Dusty Baker?
No, Dusty Hill.
Dusty Hill was 72 when he passed.
72?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would believe they're done touring. I saw them do the Super Bowl halftime in New Orleans.
Why are they done? Why can't they be a duo?
I mean, they still could, but if they're in their 70s, why would you? They've made enough money, you would think, and why would you go through the grind of touring anymore?
Why is Billy Joel still touring?
Because he's a one-man sit behind a piano and just
He's 72,
chill.
And he's and apparently when he's on stage, he rocks and rolls like he's 22.
Well, he sold out. Well, maybe there's a difference there, too. He probably didn't party as hard as ZZ Top did for all these years.
He didn't? I mean, I wouldn't know.
I mean, I just look, he's a smoker, but I look at him and go, and I think just sitting behind a piano, chilling out, and he had Christy Brinkley for most of that time. He didn't have to go out and party it up and chase it.
Nah, that's...
The top looks like that.
I love how any chance
that there's booze, they might have partaken.
I love how people assume that just because they're a celebrity and just because they have a hot celebrity wife that they're not chasing anymore.
Believe me, I've been around enough athletes to realize it doesn't matter how much
they're chasing the house.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. I've told you about the many times walking down the hallway corridor at the hotel to get to my room, I was shocked by what I saw by married guys.
Yeah.
I know it happens, but I just... Billy Joel just sits behind a piano and croons as opposed to the top.
But he performs well, though.
Well, he sold out the Garden for, like, what, 7 nights in a row?
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you could still sell out the Madison Square Garden, especially at that age, I mean, you're probably not going anywhere for a while. I mean, there's some people that they just go, like, I guess I don't know if nostalgia is the right word. Like, even like Ray, a guy like Ray Charles, for example, like, he probably performed for 2 or 3 years too long. Like, he wasn't even finishing pronouncing his words when he was singing, but people still went to go see him. And so that's kind of that's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, look, and you're right. That's why we always say, when you go to a concert for someone of that kind of era or of, like, your favorite era that's still performing, you're not going to hear new music. You just want to hear the hits.
Yeah, just like Blink 182, which, by the way, I heard one of them got like stage 4 cancer. But when I went to go see him at the rodeo, mm-hmm. they played all their old hits. That's what they needed to do, because if they didn't, all the new songs did sound like their old albums, and it sounded really consistent.
Yep.
But no one recognized them like What's My Age Again and those type of hits that were on MTV and on the radio. So it was different. But
especially on the rodeo, when they only got an hour, you've got to cram in all of like just the top hits. As opposed to, you know, a lot of times, even like Van Halen and other groups, they still want to pump their new music. When honestly, and let's be honest also, most of the people going to the concert have to have a bedtime by a certain time. Or even if you save it for the encore, most people are sleeping or they've left to go home. So you need to appease the crowd that when you were in your heyday, so were they. And now they're in a different age group, ready to go to bed at a certain time. So you've got to up your game.
You should have seen me when me and my buddy Joe, when we're at the Blink 182 concert, like, we would hear What's My Age Again, we're out of our seats, and we're singing along, and then, like, the next 3 songs, we really didn't know the words, we sat our asses
you just sat down.
And started drinking, yeah. And then they would, you know, then there'd be, like, some other, I don't know, another hit that they, and we'd just back up singing along, but that's just the way it is, and it's partly because of all the streaming services and the platforms, and the fact that, like, in SoundCloud, the fact that you can publish a song and, like, there's a new song that comes out every 5 minutes. I'm not saying every day. Like, it's like every hour there's a new song that gets dropped. It's just too much.
Since you don't have to do albums anymore.
It's too much music to consume, dude.
You can just cut a new track whenever you feel like it.
There was only so many places you can consume music back in the day. It was radio.
You know, it was TV
when you watch
right?
music videos, and that's about it.
Because of that whole thing, too, you know what's going to be crazy? If like, the people that control the estate of Prince really do want to just release all that vault of music that he's had over the years.
Oh yeah,
everyone's gonna go nuts for that.
Oh, for sure. And they may. It's all about who has control over it and how much of a stickler they are. Because even Tupac's mom was kind of a stickler about what other artists wanted to use of his. Like after he passed away, like she was a big time stickler about it, and rightfully so. It's her son's music, and you know, but that's how they are. So that would be great, especially Prince. Like Prince, that would be, because
you know me,
he hits a lot of generations
for all of that. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And look, the consensus on Twitch is that rodeo concerts suck. We've said that forever. Like, it's like what you have to watch it on. It's like watching it on a TV because you're so far away. And they only give you like an hour. So, I mean, essentially, you hope they get all their hits in as quick as possible, because otherwise it's like, that was it.
Yeah. No, it's like there's probably two albums that Blink-182 and some of my old, like Green Day, like all these old bands that I used to listen to back in the day that I probably haven't even, like, I don't even remember one of their songs.
But I saw Blink when they were on top of their game at Toyota Center.
Oh, really?
I saw Green Day the same way. And boy, they put on a hell of a show back
then. See, I would have loved to seen Green Day.
Yeah.
I would have loved to seen Green Day.
Yeah, they both were just absolutely fantastic.
I know a lot of
fantastic.
People don't like Chili Peppers, but I would have loved to seen Chili Peppers.
My wife loves them. I do not care for the Chili
Peppers. I don't know why the Chili Peppers get so much hate.
It's just not my thing, but yeah.
Them and the Canadian band.
Well, there's a easy band. The Canadian band.
Nickelback.
Well, everybody hates them.
They went from like being
the
on top of the world.
Peppers aren't even close to getting the hate that Nickelback gets.
Nickelback gets all kinds of hate now.
From Josh Innes, who loves Nickelback?
I like Nickelback.
They had some good songs.
How You Remind Me was a good song. That was
Chad Kroeger, right?
Yeah.
Was the lead singer. He did the theme from Spider-Man after that on a solo gig from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
The song's called Hero,
right. Yep.
Yeah. No.
All right. So Dusty Hill, RIP. Someone said Billy Gibbons is touring solo. Do you really want to see Billy Gibbons on a solo tour without the rest of Top?
He obviously wants to do it. I'm telling you, these guys don't want to stop working. What are they going to do? Stay home and just get old?
And the money's still good, right? As long as the money's good, if people are coming to see you, then you might as well.
Yeah, don't forget the attention, the fact that people still love you. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people, you know, when they get to a certain age, they're like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the other thing. Like, you would never be able to get close to those bands when they were as big and as power, you know, at the height of their popularity. But later, you know, when you want to get something signed by an album cover signed, or you want to, you know, get more up close and personal with a band that you absolutely loved, that's the way to do it.
For me, it would be Weezer. I would love to see Weezer, dude. Weezer is pass. You're not a fan of Weezer?
They're okay.
I love Weezer. I think that's a great band. Plus, he's super intelligent. Apparently, he went to Harvard for a while.
You guys could sit down and have a chat. That'd be cool. Just get a backstage pass. Like I said, you get close, and you know, then you can start developing a relationship.
No,
maybe one day he'll be on ESPN 97.5.
By the way, I just wanted to scare Cowboys fans, but Dak Prescott did leave practice because of soreness.
In the injured leg?
Nope, not in the leg. It's in his arm.
Oh, thank goodness.
He says he already told the PR and he already told the team that he doesn't think it's a big deal, but he didn't want to push it, so he basically took himself out of practice. So for all you Cowboys fans that might have been freaking out, he's all right. He just took himself out of practice, and he's dealing with some arm soreness, according to multiple reports and tweets.
Well, there you have that.
But that's the last thing that they need after everything that went down.
I don't
wish
bad on
Dak. The contract issue, the fact that his leg basically looked like Conor McGregor's leg.
Yeah.
Before Conor McGregor's leg looked like Conor McGregor's leg, and all the pressure that Jerry Jones got for, like, you better pay that man.
I don't wish anything on ill.
Not
on
like
Dak.
That.
Dak has endured so much already that I wish him nothing but the best. And I hope he doesn't have to endure anything more with injury. So that's good news there. At least it wasn't anything serious. Pretty much everybody at camp now, everybody doing their thing. Texans have Deshaun Watson. Packers have Aaron Rodgers. And everybody can now go about the rest of their day. Let's hope that those stories just go away. I don't think anytime soon the Deshaun Watson story is going away until they figure out what he will and will not do and where he will be as it relates to training camp, because he shouldn't be there in my mind.
Not only that, you know, the other thing that I'm doing, I think I'm going to make the decision and unfollow Busby, because his updates are whack. Every time he publishes something, it's not a real update about the case. It's just him taking a shot at Deshaun now.
I think you have to claim it as work-related. You have to follow him for the short term,
because we need to be able to get the most current updates until the cases are settled. So I think you have to.
All right, fine.
I think short term you have to. And now long term, I understand.
His wife is not bad either.
You're cutting the cord. What are you, really?
She's not that bad. Have you seen her?
Isn't she like related to Cal?
Is she?
Isn't she like Cal's niece or something? Remember when he said he didn't know her? And then they said either Cal's niece's best friend is his fiance, or there was some correlation and connection. But wow, the governor even tweeting about Dusty Hill. The governor just tweeted, "Today we lost a great friend and a remarkable Texan, ZZ Top bassist Dusty Hill, dead at 72. Truly a music legend."
I mean, I can see that in Texas. They're respected in Texas.
Man, I think you probably enjoy Pearl Necklace.
No, I don't.
It's a great song, dude. Have you heard it?
Probably.
Oh my god. The fact that you said it like that means you probably haven't heard it.
No, I probably have heard it. I couldn't tell you what it sounds like right now. Pearl Necklace sounds definitely sounds. Give me all your loving, Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah, you're just MTV generation.
Well, I mean, that's when I honestly, my dad put me on ZZ Top, and then I started watching the videos. I'm like, man, these guys are kind of cool. You know what I mean?
They were really, and MTV did nothing but help their career. But they would have been great without them. They were even more because of them. And just listen to Greatest Hits if you got no recollection of ZZ Top. Everything on there is fire. All right, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. Keep it right where you got it. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.